Good morning, and I'm thankful to be here. I'm not thankful to be up here, but I want to start this morning with a scripture from Psalms 37, the fourth chapter. And it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Have you ever thought about that scripture? I've heard people quote that last part many times. But there's a qualifier in there. And it says, delight thyself in the Lord. The portion of the deal that we have to make for those desires of our heart. So what are the desires of our hearts? Is it a new car? Is it a nicer house? Is it a better job? What is it? Everyone has them. Those desires are something that we have. But yet, do we remember our God? In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 6th verse, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Well, we can see what the qualifier is. Those that diligently seek him. Because faith is that we believe God with all our hearts and minds. He's not something that is unreachable. He has to be in every part of our life. In many cases, he isn't. Our jobs, our personal lives, our thoughts are often of many things other than our God. We fill our minds and our lives with the pleasures of the world. And I'm not saying that we aren't out in the world. Because how can you bring people to Christ if you're not out in the world? I've heard many people say that we should abstain from the world. I don't believe that. How can you be a light unto the world if you're not in the world? It's the example that we set. Not just for one another, but for the rest of the world. It says that in Matthew 5:14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." I believe that. You see, sin is in the world. We're not going to get away from that. It's always going to be around us. But is the victory in having it just taken away from us, or is it in overcoming it? We all have weaknesses. You see, the thing about the Bible is that it is timeless. And the reason that it is timeless is because man doesn't change. He still has the same failings that he had in the days of Adam and Eve. We still have the same desires, only different. But our basic people are the same. We're creatures of habit. Technology changes. It changes very fast, especially in these days. But man doesn't. You know, we have the opportunity, just like in the Old Testament, to be, or even in the New Testament, to be like any of the prophets, if we set our minds to it, and our desires, our earthly desires. We have our problems. Everybody has them. But there's no reason that a Samuel, or a Peter, or Paul, it's all in how we look at things. And how we respond. They had their problems. God waits on us to turn to Him. We often would like to meet Him on our terms. But that's not how it is. We meet Him on His terms. And God puts conditions on us. In James, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, I'm sorry, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, you know the qualifier in there. There's a couple of them. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Now, why would God put conditions on there? Do you think about it? Because otherwise, why would He want to draw near to us if our hearts were wicked? Why would He? He wouldn't. In Matthew 5, take me a little bit to get to these. The 8th verse, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Which one of you doesn't want to see God? Man, I do. Because with that kind of testimony, I'd be like the brother of Jared. And I'm going to go to 721 in the Book of Mormon. And it is Book of Ether, chapter 1. And I'm going to start on verse 67. Behold, O Lord, Thou canst do this. We know that Thou, and this is when he's asking that the Lord touch those rocks so that they would have light. Thou canst do this. We know that Thou art able to show forth great power which looks small unto the understanding of men. And it came to pass that when the brother of Jared had said these words, behold, the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched the stones one by one with his finger. And the veil was taken from off the eyes of the brother of Jared, and he saw the finger of the Lord, and it was as the finger of a man, like unto flesh and blood. And the brother of Jared fell down before the Lord, for he was struck with fear. And the Lord saw that the brother of Jared had fallen to the earth, and the Lord said unto him, arise, why hast thou fallen? And he saith unto the Lord, I saw the finger of the Lord, and I feared lest he should smite me, for I knew not that the Lord had flesh and blood. And the Lord said unto him, because of thy faith thou hast seen that I shall take upon me flesh and blood, And never has man come before me with such exceeding faith as thou hast. For were it not so, ye could not have seen my fingers. Sawest thou more than this? And he answered, Nay, Lord, shew thyself unto me. And the Lord said unto him, Believest thou the words which I shall speak? And he answered, Yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth, for thou art a God of truth, and canst not lie. And when he had said these words, behold, the Lord shewed himself unto him, and he said, Because thou knowest these things, ye are redeemed from the fall. Therefore, ye are brought back into my presence. Therefore, I show myself unto you. Brought back into the presence of the Lord. You see, God wants us to progress, to choose Him freely of our own will. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to believe Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to be obedient. And He wants us to depend on Him. You know, the last couple of months, I've been working out in Kansas. And depending on the traffic, it can take me between an hour and a half and 2 hours. You know, and sometimes even longer. Each way, that's each way. People say that's terrible. But you know, I get to talk to my God. I get to ponder things in my mind. Hello, the Lord's sure been good to me. We talk and He gives me insight into the Scriptures. And the more I depend on Him and the more I ask Him, the more He answers me. The more I witness of Him by imparting His gospel to those that will listen, the more people He sends. For my desires are as a servant, ashamed of myself in many ways for not being worthy enough. But I also know that I probably never will be. You know, God knows me better than anyone, better than my wife, better than my children. Even though they see my failings and my weaknesses, He knows me better than anyone else. Probably knows me better than I do myself. He knows what I think. He knows what I think's important, what I don't think's important. God knows what I feel in my heart and where my treasure is. And for the most part, I do too. I have desires. And I'm sure all you do too. There's some things that are most precious to you and would do anything for. And when you receive it, you guard it with your life, jealously. I want you to go to Samuel, first book of Samuel. First chapter. This is about Hannah. I'm sure you're all familiar with it, but I'm going to refresh your memories. First verse. Now there was a certain man of Ramathans, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Toshu, of Zup, and of Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Something so precious that she wanted, was willing to give it up. And it happened. It happened. The desires of your heart. Delight thyself in the Lord. And she gave, that was Samuel. And she gave him to the Lord. But then you go over here in chapter 2. And look what he did for her after that. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. That's in the 21st verse. She knew where that blessing came from. You ask yourself, how could you do that? If you could have anything in the world, but just one stipulation, you would be willing to give it up. Now, isn't that what life is? Sometimes the blessings of God do have a price tag. Exodus 20, the 3rd verse. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you say, a child is not a god? Maybe not. But if we put everything before God, then that's what it becomes. That's what it becomes. You know, we say that in the old days, in the days of the old prophets and stuff, that we wouldn't have worshipped that golden calf. Brothers and sisters, there's many things that we worship that are golden calves. It's just they've got a different front on them. And Satan puts that different look on it. It's okay. The Lord's blessed you. It's not a problem. Yet we indulge in all kinds of worship, of our possessions, our things of the world, our homes, our families, our jobs, our vehicles, you name it. God gives them all to us. I'll give you an example of God's generosity. When I found the gospel, the bank and I had a 1.25-acre piece of ground with a single wide mobile home on it. The Lord blessed me because I believed. I was obedient in many ways. We moved out here to help what we thought would be the Lord's work in a different church. We tried to put God first in all kinds of adversities. Things were tough in many ways. But the Lord kept asking, he said, well, how bad do you need me? How bad do you want me? Pretty bad. You know, I have almost 70 acres now. And many, many things that I try and use for the Lord's work. And by the way, I don't believe in luck. I don't play the stock market. I don't play the lottery. Because my God is not a God of chance. If you think that your God is a God of chance, and you young people think about those 2,000 young men that followed Helaman. You all know the story. He led them into battle, not just once, but twice. And they'd been taught by their mothers not to doubt. And they didn't doubt. And there were thousands of people that were slaughtered. How many of them were slaughtered? Not one. Not one. What a testimony. And if you want to read it, because I know we're going to run out of time, it's on with the 26th chapter, 53rd verse. You see, doubt doesn't come from God. Because if you doubt, you don't really believe. And if you don't really believe, you don't have much faith. And if you don't have much faith, you cannot please God. And that's in Hebrews. And also another one is in Romans, the 14th chapter, and I'll go to that one. I know I'm going to run out of time. The 23rd verse. And he that doubteth is damned, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, most things are beyond our control in life. Now, I want you to think about something. Abraham, when he went to offer his son, he believed God. Do you think he asked his wife for the permission? I don't think so. Do you think he asked his son? You know, and that's in Genesis 22. You know, even his son asked him, he said, you know, people say, well, you know, his son was a willing participant. But you know, his son asked him, he said, and Isaac, and this is the seventh verse, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of Abraham, built an altar there, and laid. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Why would he bind him if he was a willing participant? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Something most precious to him was his only son. Yet he was willing to give it up for God, to be obedient. You know what he must have been feeling for those 3 days, because he said he had to journey 3 days. You parents, you fathers and mothers must know how you feel about your children. To know in 3 days' time that you were going to offer them as a sacrifice. How you must have cried inside. Something or someone that he loved so much. But he believed God and obeyed something most precious to him. And by the way, God gave his only begotten son too, for you and I. And I'm not saying sacrifice your children. I'm saying put no other gods before my God. No matter what it is, because when you stand before our God and you say, Lord, and I'm going to go to one more scripture, maybe one, Matthew 7. Twenty-first verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's that qualifier again. You ever thought about that? And you're going to say, but Lord, I belong to the church, your church. And he'll ask you, are you pure in heart? Have you sought me at every opportunity? Did you believe me? Did you delight yourself in me? Did you take up your cross? Did you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me? Did you draw near to me? And finally, did you put no other gods before me? I ask you to ask those questions for yourself. I thank you.
Thank you, Trevor.